Hi, and welcome to the Business Spotlight Series. My name is Karen Barnes, and I'm an accountability coach here with Serendipity Action Coach of Central North Carolina. And I'm really stoked today to talk to a successful entrepreneur that I met about 7 years ago when her business was a little bitty little plant. And you'll get that metaphor here in just a second. But I'm here with Amy Dunlap, who is the owner and founder of Stims with a Z. A successful wholesale plant business. And so she's going to give us her insight into what does it mean to be an entrepreneur? What does it mean to own your own business? What are some of the challenges she's overcome? And as you'll hear Amy say, they're just about to launch a second location, which brings its own set of challenges and opportunities. And you know what it's really like to run a busy wholesale business. So, Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. I'm excited to be here.
Ah, well, awesome. First, a little bit of housekeeping. Y'all know the drill. You see buttons around here, like, click, subscribe. You don't want to miss any of this good stuff for all the amazing conversations that we're having. So hit those buttons. Let's go. Amy, let's jump in. All right. First of all, tell us just a little bit about Stims. What is this thing that you've built?
Sure. So Stems is a wholesale distributor for locally grown cut flowers. So, a lot of people don't know it, but 80% of the flowers sold in the United States are imported from other countries,
Is that
mostly,
right?
mostly South America. So, what you see usually at the grocery store, what you order, that's usually, imported from far away. So, we've got a lot of amazing flower farmers in the United States and in North Carolina. And so we have created this online platform that connects the flower farms around us to wholesale buyers. So that's floral shops, grocery stores, event designers. So we're not retail, but we're really trying to support the local cut flower economy by giving them a sales channel into the wholesale market.
Nice. I will confess, I have no insight or familiarity into like the flower market. Like, how big a market is that? Like, when you talk about the cut flower economy, what does that mean? How big is that?
Yeah, so it's like 8 billion in sales, retail sales. So it's a big, it's big business. So for 80% of those flowers to be coming from south of, or from abroad, and we have really wonderful flowers here. It's interesting. I won't talk too much about it because you could go down a rabbit hole, but the cut flower industry back in the 90s was very robust and supported the needs and the demand here in the United States for cut flowers. And that industry was really decimated due to legislation. So it was all connected kind of to the war on drugs and to the Just Say No program. So farmers in South America were incentivized to grow flowers instead of cacao to make cocaine. And so that
Aha.
really, really, a lot of large cut flower growers went out of business here in the United States due to those subsidies and that tariff relief.
That is crazy.
Yeah, but now they're coming back. I mean, they're popping up all over the place. There's a lot of cut flower farmers popping up. So we've got to give them a way to sell their flowers that's more efficient and more profitable than just a farmer's market or CSAs and other avenues.
Wow. I mean, you've blown my mind already. Like, I just had no idea about that. And I'm going to talk about that for like the next 2 days. Did you know that the war on drugs, dot, dot, dot.
I think just the consumer education piece is great because I think a lot of people, when they go to the grocery store and they see flowers because they're perishable, they just assume they come from farms close by. But that's just not the case.
That's fascinating. So, how long have you been, when did you start the business and how long have you been in business and kind of what's your role in the business now?
Sure. Yeah. So I founded the company. Just a little background on me. I've been in the flower industry for my whole adult life. I worked in a florist when I was 16. I went to the University of Kentucky and got a horticulture degree. And through college, I worked in a florist. I went on and got a master's in agricultural education and communication and also worked in a florist through that. I worked at the Walt Disney World florist.
Oh,
I
wow.
And then I had my own floral event business here in Winston for 13 years. So, you know, I really needed a change. I wanted to stay relevant in the cut flower industry, but had, you know, done a lot of weddings, worked a lot of weekends, and was looking for change. And I had this, I closed that business at the end of 18, and I really had this idea of flower farming myself. I have some land in Stokes County. And, you know, I had that moment, that aha moment that was like, okay, if you grow flowers, how are you going to sell them? Kind of like your story from the beginning, you know, that we talked about, you know, how are you going to sell them? And, you know, I wanted to sell to floral designers. I didn't want to sell in the farmer's market necessarily. And, you know, I thought about, as a wholesale buyer for 13 years, how many local flowers I bought, and it was very little. And so I really dug into, why is that? Why did I buy such a small amount? And it's because it was too hard. You know, I didn't know what they had. I didn't know where they were located, and I didn't have time. So instead of growing flowers and adding to the supply chain, I created stems and just started researching how to support these existing farmers and get their flowers sold more efficiently.
I love it.
Kind of, you know, where it is. So now, you know, I'm the CEO. I, you know, we officially launched in August of 2020 after a beta test in 2019. And, you know, it was the middle of the pandemic, so it was a little weird. I kind of feel like most of the customer discovery work I did prior to launch in 2020 was just like irrelevant. It was like, we just had to start, you know, and we did, we jumped in. So really, I feel like our first real year was 2022, you know, where we really got some good numbers and traction, because we were really just struggling with the whole, there weren't a lot of events, you know, I mean, we were very with the event industry. So it was an interesting time. But last year we showed great growth, and now we're expanding. So we're heading to Raleigh. That will start early March, which is right around the corner. And we also are in Charlotte. We have a partnership with a distributor in Charlotte called Derrida. So it is, all the local flowers are coming through stems and all of our customers, but Derrida is handling the distribution piece in the Charlotte area, which is a great partnership.
Congratulations, Amy. That is, you know, I was listening to a podcast on the way in, and the one of the lines that I took from it was, sometimes a setback like the pandemic was for nearly everybody is actually setting you up for success, right? So, you know, I know you had to throw out all that customer discovery, but I love what you just said, which is like, we just had to start.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that like most of the battle? Like, we just have to start.
Yeah. And as I've learned, customer discovery never stops anyway. Mm-hmm. So you got to keep learning and transitioning to and trying to figure out where that value really lies. So,
yeah. So tell me one thing you wish more people knew about your business.
That's a great one. I there's a lot of confusion when it comes to cut flowers, as I've said, about where they come from. So just that educational piece is important. But also there's a lot of consumers out there that are like, oh, can I get, you know, cut flowers from you? Mm-hmm. And not sell to the consumer. We only sell wholesale. However, we do have a really interesting marketing program that we set up called Design Local, where our Design Local members are our buyers that are our biggest buyers. And we feature them on social media, and there's a link on our website, so we can guide consumers to find the retail shops that actually do support local. And so then you can ask for local flowers. I think that's something that's very, since a lot of consumers probably think that the flowers are local, they wouldn't ask, but they can. They can go to these shops and say, hey, can I have at least 50% of my design in local flowers? And these shops can do that because of stems.
I love that. Huge supporter, obviously, of local. So you're talking about who your customers are. You're a wholesaler, so you're selling to other businesses, but you've just figured out a way to sort of drive some consumer pull. So yeah. What are some of those marketing strategies that you've used over the years? Maybe some that have worked really well, and maybe even a few that have just bombed.
Yeah. So as a startup, we have very little marketing budget. So there's that, you know, there's that, and that's growing and changing, which is exciting. So I think we're going to learn more really this year. Most of our growth in the early years has been all organic. It's been word of mouth, and it's been Instagram. So Instagram, you know, it's very visual. Flowers are quite beautiful. And so we get quite a bit of traction through that. The Design Local program is our first real marketing program where we are featuring these designers that support local. And that has proven to really show some good success. It's a hard thing to track because it's, you know, it's removed once removed. Yeah. But we're just going to keep pushing forward with it because I think it's a great message and can really help the whole end game, which is, you know, strengthening the local cut flower community.
Love it. So you've been in business for yourself for a few years now. You're doing really well. Like, as you look back, and I hope you will take the time to look back because you've come a long way and you deserve to give yourself some credit and celebration. Like, what are some of those things you feel like you've done really well? And some of those hurdles that you've faced that have just been like, okay, I'm going to have to learn a hard lesson here.
Yeah. Some of the things we've done really well is testing. We're really good at coming together as a team, having strategy sessions, leaning on our advisors, and coming up with ways to test. I mean, moving, you know, partnering with Derrida, that wasn't even something we considered, partnering with an existing wholesale distributor that distributes hard goods to florists and imports. So we're just local, but you know, the customers they're gonna buy those things anyway. So it was kind of a beta to start out, like, okay, let's offer local and work with this distributor and see what happens. And that's been interesting. But yeah, we have ideas and we continue to test. Working with different farms, trying different products, moving to new areas where we've got some farms in Virginia now, which is really exciting. And we're looking at, is that the next place to move? So we are constantly pivoting, changing, adapting, testing, which I think is really important when you're trying to build this because it doesn't exist. So we have to, you know, we have to keep trying these things out. I would say the biggest, you know, struggle, and we're not unique, is funding, you know, having the runway to continue going. Yes. We had our first pre-seed round last year, which was great. And so that helped us give us some runway to keep going, to keep testing, to keep trying. But it's, you know, that's a constant hurdle, and it's constantly in the back of your mind. Okay, I did that. So now do I need to keep fundraising again? And it's very time consuming. And I'm very active in the business still. So, yeah.
You know, working capital, like, you've got to have that working capital to continue to grow, and taking on investors is a whole other like ball of wax, right? It's so complicated, so time consuming.
It is. Yeah, it is. But very grateful for those early investors that jumped on with STEM.
And so believe, right? Yeah.
They believe in us. And so that feels good. It's exciting.
So as you look forward now, I've heard you say a couple things, like you're in Charlotte, you're in Raleigh, you're thinking about a Virginia expansion, maybe. Like, what does the next 3 to 5 years look like for STEMs and for Amy Dunlap?
Yeah. So we, you know, our overall vision, you know, yep. I'm a visionary, is this is not a North Carolina problem or a Southeast problem. This is a national problem, you know, so this is very scalable. The distribution piece is the hardest part. So there are platforms out there that are similar that connect farms and buyers, but they lack the distribution piece. And it's hard because it's a perishable product. It requires refrigerated vans and, you know, an infrastructure. But we really are trying to make it as easy to buy local flowers as it is to buy imported flowers. And you got to get the flowers to the buyers. That's part of the, you know, part of it. So we see this scaling, kind of that hub and spoke model. You know, we have Winston-Salem is kind of our main distribution hub, and Raleigh and Charlotte are kind of a little more lean distribution hubs, but could grow and scale to more of a fuller distribution hub. Or, we start looking into South Carolina and Virginia and kind of growing out through the Southeast. So I would like in the next 3 years to be, in 10 locations.
10 locations, how many states do you think?
I'm going to go 4 or 5 states.
Yeah, dream big.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm just taking some notes. And then 5 years from now, maybe we're starting to move west. It's exciting.
Let's go. Let's go. I'm ready.
Yeah.
So how big is your team now? I mean, you've clearly built a team as well.
Sure. Yeah. I have an amazing co-founder, Claire, and she's been with me from very close to the beginning. And she is also a flower farmer. So I have this whole background in design, and she has the flower farming background. So we're an incredible team because we kind of bring the voice of the farmer and the voice of the designer. We have a lot of debates, because it's a two-sided marketplace for us. It's difficult, yeah. So having her is amazing. India is business development. Lindsay is head of operations. They're both really key to the team and do great. Jumping in on a startup, it's interesting because it takes a different kind of person. You have to be willing to create the systems and think outside the box and try to build things. There's no playbook. So, for hiring, it's very different. You're really looking at someone that's really understands your vision and is like, let's do this. And then we have some amazing, more contract labor, like they sort flowers. We've got drivers. So yeah, we have a good size team.
So as you think about building this team, right, and you're now the CEO, you're not designing the flowers anymore.
Right.
What's your leadership style? And maybe, has it changed over the years? What does that look like?
I think that is something that will continue to grow and evolve. I was a business owner in my event design company for 13 years, mm-hmm. but that was different. I wasn't trying to scale it. It was a brick and mortar place. And I just, it was just here. This is very different because I'm trying to scale it. And so I think probably what I'm doing a lot better at and what I'm realizing is very important is alignment. Making sure everybody is aligned with the overall mission and they understand where we are right now and where we're trying to go. I think that is number one. And when I first started, I don't think I was that great at it because I wasn't sure where I was going. I had completely a lot of assumptions I needed to prove and doubts, and I was, I wasn't sure what it was going to look like. But now that I've got some validation, I've got some traction, I feel like I'm evolving as a better leader. And I'm enjoying it.
See, that's the whole key. So I heard a great saying the other day, and you're one of these people, you're out there, you're doing something kind of first, right? So the saying was, you're not crazy, you're just first.
Yeah. I'm going to use that, Karen.
Right. You're not crazy. You're just first.
That's first.
So you have just dropped some amazing, bits of advice and insight and frankly, education on us. And I hope everyone will go back and listen to this again. But I want to switch the energy level here just a sec. It's been great, but let's go. We're going to do some rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Amy Dunlap, what is the key to success for you?
I'm gonna fail at the first one. Focus.
excellent answer. What is your one piece of advice for other business owners?
To keep grinding, keep going, keep trying, keep testing.
We talk so much with our clients about testing and measuring, right? It's just so important. If you're going to go out and take the risk on an experiment, you got to know if it's working or not.
Yeah.
Right. And how you run the next test and make it be better. Yeah. All right. So are you listening to a podcast or reading a book or, do you have something that's really like, you're like, bam, I've got to tell people about this. What's your learning recommendation?
I'm kind of a Techstars wannabe. I never had time to do it, but I think it's a great program. And right now I'm reading Sell More Faster and loving it. So
Sell More Faster. Everybody write that down. Mm-hmm. sell more faster. Who doesn't want to do that?
Levers is a good one too. So yeah.
All right. Okay. This is actually my favorite question to ask because it's kind of silly, but super insightful.
Okay.
Kind of like me. Okay. So if you had magic pixie dust and it had the ability to fix anything immediately that it touched, where in your business would you sprinkle your magic pixie dust?
I would sprinkle it in logistics.
Logistics. Tell me why. Tell me more about that.
I think so. It's logistically, there's a lot of challenges to logistics, trying to get your product from point A to point B, and it's perishable and you're dependent on the farms and the weather conditions. And there's just so many variables. So if I could sprinkle my pixie dust, it would be all our farmers have the perfect conditions to supply all the needs. And we have the ability to easily get it to where it needs to go.
I think farmers might like that as well. If we could just have the perfect growing season all the time, that would be awesome. Yes. Okay, here's my last question. What is most inspiring to you today?
I am finding a lot of enjoyment in watching other founders. I've made some great connections. We're part of Winston Starts, meeting some other founders, and it's really fascinating to see how they grow and how the changes that they make in their journey. So I find that very inspiring. I think it takes a really brave and tough person to be a founder.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a high respect for people that jump in and try it. So
me too.
Yeah.
Me too. So Amy, where can we find Stems? You mentioned Instagram. What's your Instagram handle so we can go look at all these beautiful flower arrangements from our local designers using local flowers?
Yeah, it's find, F-I-N-D, Stems, S-T-E-M-Z.
Awesome.
And our website is findstems.com.
Awesome. Amy, it has been a joy talking with you today. You're a grinder. You're a visionary. I love your origin story. You clearly have a passion for agriculture and farmers and flowers. And I thank you for that because that's really part of the backbone of this local economy. And anybody that's trying to grow the local economy is a good friend of mine. So thank you so much for being here today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Karen.
All right, everybody. This is another just, holy cow, mind-blowing conversation. If you didn't write all these things down, like rewind, watch it again, share it with your team members, because Amy is an entrepreneur who's doing it right and has the courage to be taking some of these risks, even when it's really hard, and then to just keep going. All right, until next time, thank you so much. Talk to you soon.